how would you feel if just before you came in to this beautiful sanctuary, God stopped you at the door and said to you, "My child, I am so proud that you are living your purpose and you're doing exactly what I intended you to do." How would you like that? You're good, huh? Well, today I'm going to share with you how to piece together three components that precisely point to your life's purpose. I can hear you saying, "Judy, I've got my career, I'm retired, I'm not going back to school, I don't want to get retrained for anything, and besides that, I'm too old to change." What I'm going to share with you has nothing to do with education, little to do with age, and nothing to do with career, but it has everything to do with finding the missing pieces of these three components. So you want to know what the first component is? Me too. Well, there's an ancient Chinese saying that says, if heaven made you, God has a use for you. And three components to finding your purpose. The first component is to identify your uniqueness. We are individualized expressions of the divine, and when we were created, God had something special intended for us. And it doesn't have anything to do with what you think it might have to do with. This is your right time, you're in the perfect place, and this could be your lucky day. So each of us is born unique, absolutely individualized expressions of the divine with qualities, gifts, and talents. However, the strange thing is, we seldom see them. Why? Because they're so close to us that we can't recognize them. They're so much a part of us. It's like somebody saying, "Well, how do you breathe?" You just breathe. That's who you are. So I can imagine you saying, "There's nothing unique about me. There's nothing I can do that someone else hasn't done or could do better than I am." And that doesn't mean that just because you can't see it, your talents and gifts aren't there. I remember being in an airplane and looking out the window, and I passed above the clouds and I couldn't see the earth, but I knew it was there even though I couldn't see it. So your gifts, talents, and uniqueness are there even if you can't see them. You know, we even take in information differently. I have two friends who attend a different church. And a week ago, Monday, one of them called me and said, "That was the flattest sermon I have ever heard. I don't know why I even bothered to get out of my nightgown. There was not a thing there worth hearing. I don't know why I go." And the second friend called, who listened to exactly the same sermon, said to me, "That minister is so good. He just gets better and better. And today he said everything I needed to hear." Now, how is that? We just take in information differently. Some of you have ways with animals, babies. Some of you can walk into a closet of nothing to wear and come out with 20 perfectly coordinated outfits. Some of you can take a piece of furniture out of the trash can and transform it into an amazing showstopper. Behavioral scientists tell us that 50% of our uniqueness, our individuality, our gifts and talents come from our ancestors through our DNA. And they say that 50% of it comes from our environment. But this spiritual scientist says that 100% of it comes from God. So everything that you are is from God. And why in the world wouldn't you want to be proud of who you are, what your individuality is, and praise God for what you have instead of denying, not seeing, or pushing away your gifts and talents? So knowing that you didn't give yourself these gifts, wouldn't you be more willing to say, I give you glory, God. Thank you. I appreciate it. This is wonderful. We all know people who are remarkable. If you look around you, you will see remarkable people. I didn't say weird, I said remarkable. We know people who can do things that are so unusual and they have no idea what they're doing. I asked somebody who is a member of our congregation who doesn't come very often now if I could share this story, and she said yes. I met Pat Marquard by phone. I called her up because I needed some information about hospitality, and I'd heard she had tackled that job some years before, so I had a couple of questions to ask her. I hadn't been into a conversation with her but a few minutes, and something remarkable happened. I felt acknowledged, I felt appreciated, and I said to her, Pat, how do you do that? And she says, I have no idea what you're talking about. And we finished our conversation, I hung up the phone and I said, that lady is magical. But wait, she came to church the following Sunday and I got to see her in action. Well, we all know there are three people in this church who never smile. You know who you are, and we know who you are. And even if you smile now, we still know who you are. Well, one of these people was in Wrigley Hall, and Pat Marquardt walked in, and this woman lit up like a Christmas tree. She was so happy to see Pat. This is the first time I had ever seen her show teeth. She was so happy, and Pat hadn't even said anything. She just walked toward her. This is magical. And I watched how other people were with Pat, and they were all greeting her like a long-lost relative or that she had $1 million to give them. Betty Richards has that same quality, and Audrey Pitts has that quality. You know, you just feel loved and warm just by seeing them. You just get that sensation from them that you're accepted and loved. It's a gift. It is a gift. Now, someone in this room can solve mathematical problems faster in their head than I can find the app on my iPhone. There are people who can bring out the playfulness in you. We have Ken Fendrick is one of those people. He just brings joy and light and happiness wherever he goes. Last week I dubbed him the Minister of Merriment. He just adds so much joy and happiness. He's not doing anything special. He's just being himself. That's his gift. I have a friend, Mona, I've known for almost 60 years now. And she has the same ability to make people around her so joyful and laugh. She doesn't tell jokes. She just finds the humor of life. And I said to her last time, I said, I can't see you more than once a month because my jaws hurt after being with you. I just laugh so hard. And she said, well, everybody does that with me. And I said, don't you think that's remarkable? And she says, no, that's just who I am. She doesn't see it, but we all see it. So are you the person here who makes others feel like they're more important than anybody else in the world? That could be life-changing. As a grandparent, you can be most influential in the lives of your grandchildren. And as a counselor, people tell me all the time, the person who has most positively influenced them was a grandparent. So what does a grandparent do? They love those children as only they can. That's what we do, and that's magical to them. So your uniqueness may not be what you think it is, it's how you show up in life. There are people here who are cheerleaders. There are people who can lift you up, balance you, comfort you, inspire you, make you laugh, guide you. This uniqueness is so integral to being who they are that it's just as natural as breathing to them. Can you think of a time when somebody said to you, that's remarkable, how did you do that? Or you said to someone else, boy, you sure have a gift, how do you do that? most of us are taught not to brag about our gifts and talents. We're disciplined and we hone a skill or talent, and even so, we don't stand up and say, thank you, glory to God to this. We just say, oh, it's nothing. But I'd like you to start thinking differently about that. It's like, thank you. You didn't give it to yourself. You may have honed it and worked on it, but it's a gift from God. So honor God by sharing that. So knowing that God endowed you with this gifts, wouldn't it make you feel a little bit more able to identify and be proud of them? And then if you allow your gifts to show up, you can bless others. So each of us has something unique to offer. You're graced with a capacity to offer something to life that only you can uniquely do. Well, I imagine you saying, I am past my prime. It's too late for me, Judy. I don't have the time or energy to study anymore or go back to school or change anything. And as we say in the South, I'm plumb tuckered out. But is there a possibility that because you might not have a job to go to full-time every day, that now is your free time to live your purpose? It may not look at all what you imagine it to be. Some people have the ability to calm drama and trauma situations. My daughter Patricia is a social worker in a hospital and deals with life and death situations every day. She has to calm people who have just lost an infant, a child, a loved one. And it's not only giving them information of where to go and what to do, it's how she shows up in life with them. She's such a calming influence. You feel so comforted and soothed by her presence. I'm not minimizing her talent and her gifts. That's what she does. But who she is and what she brings is really what makes her so valuable to everybody's experience. I have a daughter, Amanda, who has an unusual ability that you may not think is that remarkable. Maybe I'm exaggerating a little bit, but she can take 3 suitcases and fit it into a Ziploc baggie. Now, that's a gift. How valuable is that? Not to say she doesn't have other wonderful traits, but that one just amazes me. How does she do that? Do you know somebody who can talk with the animals or cook so every single dish feels like the prime ingredient was love? Do you know a problem solver, a fixer, a baby magnet? Can you listen in such a way that people say, you make me feel like I'm the only person on the planet? Let's face it, we are unique. We are created with a specific purpose, more qualities, gifts, and talents than we can recognize, and that means more glory than we could give to God. Someone here was startled when I could crank out a curriculum or a proposal in minutes. I'm not boasting, remember? I'm sharing that because it was not a big thing to me. That's just what I do. And it's just like you. You can do something so quickly, so easily, without any effort whatsoever, and somebody would say to you, how in the world do you do that? You just do it because it's your gift, it's your talent. I can take a huge concept and distill it into one sentence. That's why they call me Bottom Line Winkler. So are you ready to find out how to identify your uniqueness? Oh, good, me too. Here's what you do. You find 10 people, and don't make them all your relatives because they're a little bit biased. They see you a little bit differently than others might. So you find 10 people that you work with, people you volunteer with, people you see at church, your neighbors, people who have known you a little bit, and you ask them this question: what do you see as my uniqueness? And if you get reports back that are duplicate things, you're on to something. If you got 5 people that tell you, well, you're really good with animals, or you have a sweet way with greeting people, or whatever they say, you're on to something. But here's the thing that's really important. When you ask these people, either record it, ask them to write it down, put it on an email message, or text you, because it's so easy for you to eliminate what they say. You're going to dismiss it the minute they tell you something, because you'll say, out of habit for all these years, oh, that's nothing. So make sure you get the information they're giving you and honor that. And then when they tell you something, here's what you do. You ask them, could you give me an example of what you mean? So if they say to you, oh, you're really good with kids, and you say, could you give me an example of what you mean? And they might say to you, well, there was a screaming toddler here yesterday, and in 2 seconds you had that child singing and dancing and happy. Or you're really good with teenagers, and you say, could you give me an example? Well, I know this kid who wouldn't talk to anybody else in church, but he came and told you what his problem was. So the next step is, ask them, can you think of ways my uniqueness could be used? And you think of it too. So let's say, for instance, your talent is talking with teenagers. You get teens to talk to you. Where might you use that? What teenager would need somebody that they could trust to talk to? And they might say, during a crisis, a disaster, maybe you would want to work with an organization that handles disasters. Maybe the Red Cross. Maybe teens who are in trouble, who are victimized. I mean, I don't know the answer, but you can think of those answers as you start exploring possibilities. But listen very carefully to what people tell you, because they're pointing you in a direction that may be very, very powerful for you. If we don't use these gifts, we get either, what I call them, the spiritual crazies. It shows up either as sadness or depression. You feel like you're in a black and white world, well, the rest of the world is in Technicolor with Dolby sound. You just feel flat. And sometimes it can come on slowly, and sometimes you wake up in the morning, you look in the mirror, you say, who is that looking back at me? I have no idea who this is. And then you need some support. And I went through that a number of years ago. I had the spiritual crazies. And I made an appointment with Reverend Gretchen. I remember sitting in her office going, I don't know what to do. And she was praying with me, and she clarified some things and gave me some gifts that were really, really helpful that I then used in my next adventure. So if you get the spiritual crazies, reach out and ask for help. We're all here for you. I have a sidebar for you. When you identify the gifts and talents in somebody, do you want to know what the greatest gift in the world that you can give them? You can give them acknowledgement of their gifts and talents. So this is an I appreciate you card. And on one side it says the person's name. In this case it's Irene. And I'll just read you a few of her gifts and talents. And giving this to somebody, imagine you writing this and giving this to somebody you care about to acknowledge them. So these are some of the things I found in her that I appreciate. Social, capable, curious, loving, beautiful, dependable, music lover, a dancer, brilliant, best friend, adventurous, fun-loving, wise, sensitive, animal lover, spiritual. Do I need to go on? You get the point. The point is, what a great thing that is to receive from somebody, that somebody else saw the qualities in you that sometimes you didn't even see in yourself. So that's a little free gift you can do for somebody that will just delight them. Let's see what this has in store. So the second component is connecting the dots. Do you remember when you were a little kid that you took the numbers and you drew them and a picture came from all of these little lines? Well, that's what God does with us. Each of the things we experience is a dot. And if we can connect the dots, a picture will appear to us where God is leading us. There's a type of person who's very inward, and some of us call us innies or introverts, and we spend a lot of time in our own minds. And that gives us an opportunity to look back on our life and reflect on where the dots have led us. And this is a very easy task for an inward person. So people who are very outward may have to learn a new trick. So I'm teaching you this new trick of connecting the dots. So do you ever ponder how incidents led you to this point? Do you ever look back and see that one thing happened and a domino effect happened, and then before you know it, something totally changed? Well, that's connecting the dots. And I'm going to give you an example of connecting the dots. I moved to San Diego because from Los Angeles, my husband unexpectedly divorced me to marry someone else. I was not prepared for that surprise. And Patricia and I found an old house that in San Diego that had been on a large cattle ranch. Now, why is that important to know? Because the cattle ranch left us, shall we say, natural fertilizer, which made the earth so rich that it could grow anything. And we lived out of that garden, and we had to, for food, for 2 years. Connecting dots. So depression, after I moved to San Diego and not being able to earn the kind of living that I was used to earning, led me to a church where Kathy Robertson's mother, whose name is Helen Crosby, was a practitioner there, and she breathed spiritual life into me. I was just a mess. I was so depressed I couldn't even say my name. And she took my hand and pushed her phone number into it and said, call me. That's how spiritually dead I was. So I went to the church. I ended up taking classes, got my balance back, decided to go into ministerial school, met Reverend Blair Tabor 25 years ago, more dots connected. Then 7 years ago, I was living in a big home in Chula Vista, and I was diagnosed with macular degeneration. My best friend Jerry's neighbor was diagnosed with the same thing and became blind very quickly, so we all kind of knee-jerk reacted. And my daughter Patricia suggested that I sell that house, build a granny flat onto their property, and move in. Well, it seemed like the thing to do. So we were told to expedite the building permits to build onto their existing property rather than having two separate properties. So Patricia took a sketch, and she sketched out their master bedroom connecting to a laundry room that connected to my living room and kitchen and bathroom and bedroom, the office, two-car garage, and some storage. So I moved in 3 months, connected the dots. A few days after I had moved in, the twins asked, the grandsons were about 7, I think, at the time, and they asked me if I would make bacon for them when they got home from school. I said, sure, glad to do it. So it was in the morning. People had left for school and work, and I was standing there in my nightgown and my apron and my cell phone in my pocket, as always. And I decided to fry up the bacon to get that off my list before the day started. I put the bacon on the stove, and I hear the trash truck on the alley. And I remembered I have some kitchen trash I wanted to take out there. So I grab the trash bag, walk out my door into the garage, hit the button that opens up the big garage door, tootle out, put my trash in the bin, come back in the garage, close the door, feeling very smug that I had missed everybody seeing me in my nightgown, and I discovered I had locked myself out of the house. That's exactly what I thought. I'm thinking, I haven't been here a month, and I'm going to burn down their house. I was terrified. So I ran out the side door that went into the lawn, the backyard with the lawn and the patio, and I called Patricia on my phone. And I said to her, I've got bacon on the stove. I've locked myself out of the house. Is there a spare key on the patio, or do the neighbors have a key? And she said, look at this place and then look at that place, and I'm looking at these places. No, there's no spare key. She said, I'll check around, I'll call you back. And I said, I'm going to see if I can get in the dog door And she says to me, just keep your phone in the hand that goes in first in the dog door. And she hangs up. And I go in the dog door, and I am stuck. I am on all fours, probably mooning the next door neighbor's kitchen window. And I'm thinking, what am I gonna do now? This is a royal mess. And I could see tomorrow's newspaper. San Diego, including the zoo, burned down. Arson investigators are puzzled by the remains of an old woman stuck in a dog door. So this is time for some Shonuff praying. And it started something like this. Jesus, you gotta help me now. I am so stuck. I am scared and I do not know what to do. I hear a voice as clear as a bell saying, look up. Well, think of a 70-year-old woman looking up from all fours stuck in a dog door. That is not an easy sight. I saw a wall in front of me. And then I heard the voice again, look up. So I twisted my body and I looked up and I saw the knob for the door. So I reached the knob and opened the latch and opened the key and pulled myself out, ran down the hall, calling Patricia, say, I'm okay, I'm in the house, the house is okay, I'm okay. And I hung up. Got back to the kitchen, skidded around into the kitchen just in time to turn the bacon over. There's more. So put this in your mind, connecting the dots. I had gotten stuck. When Patricia got home, being a sensitive person as she is, she asked me if I had enough humor by that time of the day to talk about the situation, and I said, sure. And she said that the reason she was so abrupt and hung up on the phone is because she was in an important meeting at the hospital, a staff meeting, and here is this woman calling saying, I've got bacon on the stove, I'm stuck in the dog door, and I've locked myself out. Well, people are hysterical on her end of the thing, and she didn't want them to come through the phone so I would be offended, kind as she was. I wondered why she was abrupt, but knowing her, she had a very good reason. And then she said to me, well, how did you get out of the garage into the backyard? And I said, well, I just turned the key and opened the door and ran out. And she said to me, that key unlocks the door into your house. Connecting dots. So one morning, I got called in meditation to stop prison recidivism, and I cranked out a proposal, sent it to Donovan Prison. They said, it's a great proposal, no thank you, and I was bummed, and I felt stuck. Stuck again, two stucks. So I began to think about the tools to get unstuck, and I started recording them and writing them down and pulling things that I'd written from the past. And I cranked out a little manuscript about getting unstuck, more dots connected. I was invited to a ministerial day retreat, and I met there a lovely, lovely woman, Sharon Lund, who's become a good friend now. And at that meeting, I had done something that endeared her to me, because I had stood for her in something that was kind of scary for her. And after the retreat, she wanted to get together with me, and we met, and she said to me, you know, I'm a publisher. Have you written anything? And I said, well, I have a couple of manuscripts here, and I gave them to her. And she immediately published Get Unstuck, Live with Ease. Then she put me in touch with somebody at the Girls Rehabilitation Center at Juvenile Hall, and I taught a couple of classes there. And then I got put in touch with somebody at the Brig, and I started teaching classes in the Brig, which is a federal prison. And I wrote down all the things that I taught, and Sharon said, why don't you put that in a book? So I did, And the second book was published, connecting the dots. Got stuck, getting unstuck, teaching. And now I'm at the point where I'm in contact with a person at the Department of Justice, which Aline mentioned, in Washington, D.C., to evaluate this course going into all the prisons, dots connected. So let's review. So far, I'm not going to tell you the story again about being stuck. But the first thing is to identify your uniqueness and talents. And how many people do you ask? That's right. And you ask them to give you specific examples of what they saw in your uniqueness, and then you find out how you can use that uniqueness. And then you connect the dots. So, I think we're long enough where I can ask for an affirmation from you. Here we go. I am living my purpose in my unique way. Again, I am living my purpose in my unique way. And the third component is the most fun of all. This is my very, very favorite in the whole wide world. It's to give into life the qualities you yearned for as a child but did not get. That is your gift to give. So when you were little, did you want your parents to get who you were? Did you want them to be there when you got scared? Did you want them to help you feel like a valuable part of the family? Did you want to be protected so they had your back? Did you want to feel safe? Did you want honest people to tell you the truth? Did you want to feel special? Did you want their faces to light up when they saw you? Did you want them to love you with your uniqueness? Did you want them to honor you and to feel appreciated? Did you want to be loved just as you were, imperfections and all? Did you want them to see possibilities and nurture that in you? Did you want to be praised? Did you want to feel loved and cared for? Did you want to be heard? Did you want to know that you mattered? Did you want someone to comfort you when you got scared or felt alone? Did you want someone to show you how to soothe yourself so you could weather upsets? What was it that you longed for that you did not get? That, my friends, is the unique quality that you get to give back into life as your gift. That is your purpose, to give the very thing you wanted back into life so other people can be blessed by you. In coaching people, I always tell them to be the parent that you longed for as a child, but be the parent that your children need too. So being filled with the Holy Spirit, we are very powerful beings. Our presence is mighty. Our inner light can heal, soothe, calm, comfort, repair, restore. We can be the voice of reason, the problem solver, the comforter, the nurturer, the cheerleader, the coach. We can be ministers of merriment who bring lightness and fairy dust to everyone around them, so we're reminded that we live in a magical world. We each have the capacity not only to change the life of another, but we can save a life by giving our uniqueness to another. Years ago, I read a newspaper article that I'll never forget. It read, the suicide note said, I've been in this town 2 weeks. Every day I walk to the bridge, but nobody smiles and says hello. If nobody smiles and says hello today, I'll jump. So it's not too late. Your time is now. Be honest with yourself and uncover and acknowledge your uniqueness. Give glory to God by your uniqueness and connect the dots where you're being led. And best of all, give back into life that which you yearned for as a child to bless and heal others. Make a difference by giving of yourself. And may we all look back on over our lives and be able to say, job well done, I have lived my purpose. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of coming together to open our hearts and our minds to stir the Holy Spirit within. So may we live at a higher level. May we ask and accept that this is the beginning of something wonderful. We are living the life intended. For this we are grateful. All this we pray in and through the power of the living Christ's presence. If you received anything valuable today, will you please say amen?